Thank you. relocated worship space. As we're making our way through the season of Easter, we're looking at a sermon theme entitled Resurrection Reality. That's a reminder that in the season of Easter, Jesus' life gives us gifts that have real meaning. And one of them that we're going to focus on tonight is the fact that we have a shepherd like Jesus who provides his care and protection as he does. We'll use the order of service that you were handed on your way into the sanctuary tonight. If you didn't receive one of these, raise your hand and one of our ushers can see you. Make sure you're able to participate. Also, as we're worshiping, make sure you're comfortable. We have restrooms on both exits in that direction. Also, parents' rooms on both sides now, and the emergency exits on all four sides of the room. We'll follow that order of service that you received. We'll begin tonight with the four verses of our opening hymn, number 528, Christ, the Word of God Incarnate. We'll sing verses 1, 4, 5, and 6. God's richest blessings on our worship tonight.
Merciful Father in heaven, I am altogether sinful from birth. In countless ways I have sinned against you and do not deserve to be called your child. But trusting in Jesus, my Savior, I pray. Have mercy on me according to your unfailing love. Cleanse me from my sin and take away my guilt.
Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me, and I lay down my life for the sheep. No one takes my life from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father.
Look, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world.
Jesus' perfect sacrifice has removed your sins. Jesus laid down his life so that you may live. Hear the word of Christ through his called servant. I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Hear the word of the Lord, O nations. Proclaim it in distant coastlands. The Lord will gather his people and will watch over his flock like a shepherd. May he who forgives your sins strengthen you to live according to his will.
To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever.
Forevermore. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated. Each of the three lessons that serve as the foundation for worship this weekend remind us of that powerful picture of Jesus as our Good Shepherd. In the first reading, we are given scenes from the life of the early Christian church as it expanded throughout Jesus' area in Palestine and into the Roman Empire. Here in Acts chapter 20, the Apostle Paul is meeting with the elders and leaders of the congregation which he had founded in the city of Ephesus. And then he's meeting with them in a port city called Miletus. Outside of the city, he's afraid that if he would see the members of that church, he would never be able to leave again because of their love for each other. At the same time, Paul gives them this commission as leaders. Show the sheep under your care the same compassion that the Savior has for you. A lesson from the book of Acts chapter 20. Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. Even from your own number, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them. So be on your guard.
Remember that for 3 years I never stopped warning each of you night and day with tears. Now I commit you to God and to the word of His grace, which can build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let's join to sing the version of Psalm 23 entitled, The Lord's My Shepherd. It's hymn 554, and you can find words and music on page 8. Second reading include words of encouragement and warning written by John the Apostle in one of his letters about a generation after the Apostle Paul shared his warning and encouragement with the church in Ephesus. In these words from John, we unpack a little bit more that warning against wolves and those who would distort the message of the Good Shepherd with false teaching. John encourages the flock under his care to be alert and to test the words of falsehood against the true voice of the shepherd. A lesson from John's first letter, chapter 4. Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming, and even now is already in the world. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. They are from the world, and therefore speak from the viewpoint of the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God, and whoever knows God listens to us, but whoever is not from God does not listen to us. This is how we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand for the reading of the gospel. On this fourth Sunday in Easter, Good Shepherd Sunday, is recorded in John chapter 10, Jesus' own words and identification of his promise. These also serve as the basis for tonight's sermon. I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father, the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to you, O Christ.
The congregation may be seated as we'll join to sing the hymn of the day, "The King of Love, My Shepherd is hymn 552, and it's printed for you on page 12. you from God, our Father, and from our risen Lord, the Savior and Shepherd of the people of God, Jesus Christ. In him, my dear Christian friends, maybe all the signs of our construction site have caught your eye over the last couple of weeks, and I want to assure you that our leaders and our committees have been keeping a close eye on the progress that's happening on the other side of the curtain, or the doorways, as it were. There's a lot of things that are changing. You can already see some of the pictures of the progress. But when I say that we've been keeping a close eye on the construction workers, I want to assure you this. Over the past few weeks, it has dawned on me again and again how glad I am to wear a stole to work and not a safety vest. I watch some of the pieces of concrete going out of the building. I see some of the heavy pieces of lumber going into the building. I'm pretty sure that I picked the right job to do for my life's work. Now, that isn't to say that I am a stranger to hard work or that I've never spent any time in the building trades. Over the past 7 years that I've been your pastor, I'm guessing that a time or two I've told you about the times that I spent 4 summers as a summer help apprentice on a carpentry crew in Milwaukee. I learned a lot those 4 summers. And one of the things that I learned was that I was a terrible summer help apprentice on a carpentry crew. Not that I didn't like doing the work or that I didn't like working outside in June, July, and August in southeastern Wisconsin. I just don't like heights, which kind of makes me a lousy carpenter's apprentice. Maybe you can think back over some of the summer jobs that you got to serve in or the work that you got to do, some of which you loved doing and some of which you hated doing, and maybe you can reflect on the jobs that you got good at and the jobs that you were no good at. I still remember the 2 years that I spent bagging groceries at Kohl's Food Emporium when Kohl's still sold groceries. I was pretty good at it, at least by my 2nd year of doing it. I can think of the time that I spent working in the warehouse at a beverage distributor down in Brown Deer. I got pretty good at carrying boxes, and I got pretty good at pushing a broom. And then I think of the job that I spent, my first summer job, 4 summers as a field hand working at an apple orchard down in Mequon. I learned a lot those summers. I learned that I was pretty good at picking apples, and I learned that I was pretty good at pulling weeds. But I also learned that I was pretty terrible taking care of sheep. They had 4 of them. And I'm sure they had names, but I have no clue what their names actually were. They kept them in a shed on the north end of the driveway that led out to the road, and every now and then we'd drive past the sheep barn, and we're pretty sure that the owners kept them as pets, but they kind of kept to themselves, had a pasture that they'd go into and out of, and sometimes we'd have our lunch in the shade of that sheep barn, but usually the sheep stayed on their side and we stayed on ours. Until one hot, muggy July morning when the foreman, Jim, brought me and my twin brother a couple of hay forks and said, "Today you're going to learn how to take care of sheep." I don't know how long it had been since the last time that sheep barn had been cleaned out, but I'm guessing it had been half of a century at least. The more and more I dug and shoveled, the worse and worse it got. After a while, I was pretty sure I must have been hallucinating, because there must have been 5 or 6 sheep there now instead of the usual 4. By lunchtime, I was convinced that I was never going to take care of another sheep again. Not that they liked me all that much either. I didn't get along well with the sheep. I startled them on my way into the pen, and I kept shouting at them the longer that the day went on. They were probably as happy to see me leave as I was to get out of there too. You learn a lot when you work for a living, and I learned that I'm a terrible shepherd. Well, at least when it comes to real sheep. As after all, I kind of found myself studying at the seminary and became a full-time shepherd, not of sheep in the true sense, but of souls. Well, you guess, he must do a better job at that than all those summer jobs, right? Maybe you'd be surprised. Or maybe you wouldn't be surprised to know that sometimes there's a lot of similarities between taking care of livestock and taking care of people. It's messy and it's irritating at times, and it's a lot of hard work. It tests your patience. I'm not telling you something that you don't know, because you spend a lot of time taking care of people that you love and worrying about their souls and trying to keep them well fed. It's a hard job being a shepherd. Whenever we take care of someone, especially when it comes to their souls, you and I quickly realize that we're awfully good at being sheep, but we're pretty lousy at being shepherds. But that's right. We've got a shepherd who's far better than we are of taking care of us and taking care of others. And wouldn't you know it, we're in the fourth weekend after Easter, and every single year we study the same theme and open our eyes to that same picture of who Jesus is and why his resurrection reality means so much to us. But do you ever wonder what makes him so good? What is it about his work and his job that makes the world to us? Well, today we're going to look at Jesus' own words, and we're going to remember his own story of why this care that he provides for us and why this guidance that he gives us matters so much to us, because he is the real deal. There is no one better at him than this. What makes your good shepherd so good? He provides real protection. And he reveals real redemption. I get the impression that the story that Jesus told about himself on this particular day when he was in an argument with the enemies of God, the group of Pharisees that were constantly on his case in Jerusalem, this picture that Jesus used to describe himself was one that made an impression on his apostle, the one named John. We're used to some of the details of his story, and we know that John provides us glimpses into Jesus' life and ministry that the other four gospel writers don't give us a glimpse of. John is the only one that tells us about that late night visit between Jesus and Nicodemus, where we heard the famous words, "God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son." Only John tells us that story. And only John gives us this story of Jesus calling himself the Good Shepherd. What do you think was it about John's life and ministry that this picture made such an impression on him? I think it's because of all the apostles that ever wrote books of the Bible, John was the last one to write it down. He had outlasted and outlived all the other eyewitnesses of Jesus. He was the oldest apostle alive. And I imagine that looking back on that long life, this picture of Jesus, his perfect shepherd, meant far more than he could have known. Because we know the kind of trouble that Jesus' followers found themselves in the generations following his ascension into glory. We recognize that the Apostle Paul predicted what was going to happen to all those congregations under Roman rule and in which the false teachings were going to run rampant. He said, you know, wolves are going to come and they're going to infiltrate the flock and they're going to make claims of follow me and follow him. And I worry for you, as Paul said to the Ephesian elders. Paul could only predict what was going to happen. John saw it for himself. You heard it described in the letter that he wrote about the same time as this gospel. False spirits are going to get thrown around in the church and false understandings of why Jesus is who he is and why he must be followed to the ends of the earth. And you heard the ugly word that he used, the word of the Antichrist. People will stand in his place and claim to be him. But he is still your shepherd, and you have to follow him. Jesus says himself, "I am the good shepherd.
The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd. It doesn't know the sheep. So when he sees those wolves coming, he will abandon them and run away. And the wolf will attack the flock and scatter it. The man will run away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. If we look back over all the centuries, it is not hard to see all of the difficulties and the dangers and the troubles that Christians have faced throughout history. And it isn't difficult to see those troubles and those dangers and those difficulties affecting the Christian church still today. And we could sit down and have a very interesting conversation about whether the Christian church faces more struggles now than it did in the first century or the second century or the third century. We could have another interesting conversation about whether the struggles that we face as Christians in our little corner of the pasture are different or more difficult than the dangers that other Christians face on the other side of the world. And those would be good conversations to have because God's word would guide us. God is not shy about speaking about wolves and charlatans and thieves and robbers and all of these threats that affect the Christian church from the outside. But something different bothers Jesus with these words. The threats toward the Christian church that surround us on the outside don't catch Jesus' attention as much as they catch our attention. Because for Jesus, none of those threats are a problem. He laid down his life to protect us from those threats. What bothers Jesus, or at least what's on his mind, is the threat that his sheep might start listening to another shepherd that isn't him. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. And if the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it, the man will run away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I guess it is hard to criticize the actions of a hired hand like this. Eventually, when the threats get great enough, self-preservation and self-interest are going to kick in every time. When the stakes get too high, any hired hand will say, "These sheep that I'm called to take care of are not worth my life and my limb anymore." Now, I have to admit, as a person who gets called your shepherd an awful lot here at Emmanuel, I want something to be clear. First, I don't want you to consider me or Pastor Dorn or Pastor Schultz or Pastor Hyges or any of the other people that serve you here in ministry simply to be hired hands who are in it for our own good. We're not. But at the same time, we have never promised to be the sole protector of your souls and the source of your eternal security either. And if we ever start saying things like that, or if you ever hear a leader start talking like that inside the church or outside the church, that they will be your source of safety, security, and source of joy for all eternity, I want you to do me a favor. I want you to run away from me as fast as you possibly can. I want you to run back to the true shepherd and overseer of your souls. And that's the one who we talk about from this pulpit. That's the one whom we gather around at this altar. That's the one whose name we bear and whose name was placed on us at the days of our baptism. That's what our joy is as shepherd, is to draw your attention back to him over and over and over again, and to prove it to you. I want to tell you one critical truth about your shepherd that you cannot afford to let go of or overlook or forget even for an instant. He is not only the shepherd who provides you with real protection. He is also and only the shepherd who reveals to you real redemption. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for my sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This is the command I received from my Father. Before I said that Jesus' words and comment that he is the good shepherd of the flock of God made an impact on John, his apostle. It also made an impact on Jesus' audience, the Pharisees. Jesus was reminding them, these sheep are either going to follow me or they're going to follow you. But they won't follow both of us. They'll either belong to me or they'll belong to you. And the Pharisees understood that. If these people follow Jesus, and if they acclaim Jesus, then they will no longer follow us and no longer acclaim us. And John goes on to say that that very day they picked up rocks to stone Jesus to death. They didn't want to lose the hold they had on them. But Jesus wasn't about to lose his hold on you either. Sometimes being part of the shepherd's flock is painful, not just for the shepherd, but also for the sheep. As I said before, I don't know the first thing about taking care of livestock, but I know that it can be a messy and painful proposition. For cattle, it's the brand. For sheep, it's the tag. The shepherd grabs that sheep by the head and says, "Give me your ear for a second." Puts the tag in the ear and says, "There, now you're mine. No one will ever confuse you as someone else's." By tugging that sheep's ear, that sheep now recognizes who that sheep belongs to. That's my shepherd, and I recognize his voice, and I won't follow anyone else's. Little lambs, we are so often wandering away from the voice of our shepherd. We are so often filling our hearts and our souls and our minds with food that is not good for us. And there, through the voice of the gospel proclaimed among his people, at times by the voices of his ministers, the call goes out, where are we leading ourselves? Listen to the voice of the true shepherd who calls you back with a simple message that will never change. You belong to him. He bought you. Body and soul, you are his now and for all eternity. Of all my summer jobs, I gotta say that I learned a lot at every single one of them. One of my favorites was the first job that I took of trying to be a shepherd and running a vacation Bible school in Houston, Texas. That's where I got to take care of little kids for the very first time, and why I'm also not a preschool teacher. But the work that I was able to do then is not much different than the work that I do now, and it certainly isn't any different than the work that you do in your families and among your friends. Listening to the voice of your shepherd and calling others to respond to that voice as well. As the song goes, I'm Jesus' little lamb, and so are you. Amen. Please stand. The peace of God, which goes beyond our understanding, will guard our hearts and our minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let's join tonight to confess our Christian faith and the confidence we have in our shepherd through the words of the Apostles' Creed. You'll find it on page 13. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Congregation, you may be seated. Next, we'll join in a responsive prayer of the church, which you can find on pages 14 and 15. Following that prayer of the church, we'll gather an offering here in place,
And that's an opportunity for us to recognize the joy that we have in supporting the gospel. Previously, we'd use that to gather connection cards. We still like using those because it allows us to see that you've been with us this weekend. If you have a chance before you leave, take a connection card from the tables and drop them into one of those little boxes on your way out of worship. We'll continue then with the prayer of the church. Loving shepherd of the sheep, fill us with contentment and confidence during this season as we celebrate your Easter victory. You laid down your life for the sheep and then rose again to assure us that you give us eternal life.
The shepherd, save us.
Strengthen our faith to follow where you lead, to the green pastures of your word, to the quiet waters of our baptisms, and the gracious table of your body and blood, where our cup overflows with your forgiving love. Guide us to find in you the gate that leads to safety and good pastures.
The shepherd, lead us.
Guard and protect us from those who want to lead us astray and snatch us out of your hand. Give us courage to fight against the devil and the wisdom to recognize false teachers. Lead us to honor and follow those you have called to shepherd your flock, the church.
The shepherd, guide us.
Let your rod and your staff comfort us and all your sheep in times of sickness and sadness, and especially when we walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Almighty God, we commend to your care Crystal Eschholz as she undergoes surgery this coming week. We thank you for blessing doctors and medical workers with great skill. Now we ask that you would bless their work so that your servant may enjoy relief and recovery from her affliction. With confidence in your faithful love, we place her into your hands. May we find in your redemption and in your Father's resolve the unbreakable promise that we will dwell in your house forever.
The shepherd, console us.
Move us to reach out to sheep who are not yet a part of our sheep pen, but whom you have claimed as your own. Give us your passion to search for the sheep who are lost, and lead us to rejoice when they have been found.
The shepherd, inspire us.
Hear us, Lord, as we pray in silence. We thank you, Lord, for all the blessings we have gained from your goodness, family and friends, wealth and health, work and leisure. Give us wisdom to long for and cherish your more precious gifts, your word and sacraments, so that your goodness and love may follow us all the days of our life.
Good Shepherd, hear us. Amen.
We'll gather the offering. Hymn is number 551, Jesus, Shepherd of the Sheep. It's on page 16. Holy Scriptures for our learning. May we so hear them, read, learn, and take them to heart, that being strengthened and comforted by your holy word, we may cling to the blessed hope of everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Our Father in heaven,
hallowed be your name.
Your kingdom come,
your will be done on earth as in heaven.
Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
You may be seated for our closing hymn. I Am Jesus' Little Lamb is number 804, and it's on page 18.